Hi everyone, this is Jack from Radio Laurier doing another interview with a local MP candidate here in the Waterloo region. Today we are talking to Douglas Ross, who is the candidate for the People's Party of Canada. Now, Douglas Ross is focused on a practical, people-centered solutions rooted in the core values of freedom, responsibility, fairness, and respect. How are you doing today, Douglas?
I'm fine. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. Now I know that I just gave you a little bit of an introduction, but I want to hear in your own words if you could introduce yourself, tell us a bit about your background and why you're running for MP.
Okay. Let's start with why I'm running. I think that started about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when I came back to Canada. I was working in the States, and people were getting together because they were dissatisfied with the existing two-party system. And I'm not negating the NDP and the Green Party, but the focus on the two main parties. And that was the beginning of the People's Party of Canada. So I sort of joined in at that time, and I was a facilitator. So it was kind of a chaotic mess. And at that point, I started facilitating the sessions. And that's where I got interested in the party. Why I'm running now? I'm running because I fundamentally believe that the democracy is changing inside Canada, and I like to be part of the change that's going on. So I've stepped forward and put my name in, recognizing the reality of the situation that we're in. But I felt it was better to step out and say what I needed to say than keep quiet.
I see. All right. And as you mentioned, as we mentioned a couple of times now, you're running with the PPC party. I'm curious why you chose to run under that party.
They phoned me. I think I just finished training or doing my training to be a spiritual director. And on that day, I was sort of de deciding what I was going to do. I got a call from a friend of mine down the States, and she asked me to write a book about the Canadian medical system. And that night, the party head, not party headquarters, the regional party called me and said, "Would you be interested in running?" So I decided I had two offers on the table. And so I've undertaken to write that book. And then I went to one of the party meetings to decide whether I wanted to be part of that. In that meeting, the People's Party, a lot of people are standing up and speaking very outlandishly about truth, particularly about things like the 15-minute cities, the whatever the issue is. And I realized that they were trying to speak their truth. And I was impressed with that because I don't feel like in politics everybody is interested in truth. They're interested in getting votes. Second part was a middle-aged woman who was sitting beside me, and she had told me how she was beginning to be distrustful of the political system. And the more she spoke out, the more her friends and her family ostracized her. So what they did is they started finding new friends. They can't find new family, but they found new friends, and they set up monthly dinners to get together to talk about politics, the state of the world, and where they're going to be in the future. And she asked me, she said, "Do you know any good plumbers?" I say, "I know lots of good plumbers." She said, "Yeah, but I want to know plumbers who are sort of waking up to the political realities that we're seeing." And my answer was no, I did not know any good plumbers who could do that. I felt from those two experiences at the meeting that I was interested. Then I submitted my candidacy. I was interviewed over a year. I answered every question incorrectly, in my point of view. And that was because I did not believe in conspiracy theories. I did not believe in fear mongering. I did not believe in hatred for anybody. And I did not believe in going outside of the rules. And the party headquarters said, "You're exactly the person we want because we want a centralist and a moderating force." And I said, "Okay, I'm willing to give it a try." Did I answer your question?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, good.
We're speaking on that. And so do you have a choice for who you would like to see become the next Prime Minister of Canada?
I have no. I do not have a choice. I essentially believe, like our party believes, that the liberals and the conservatives are the same party with a different face. I've long ago accepted the fact that the division between the right and the left wing is a fight for power. And all you need to do is watch our parliament and operation. There is no company in the world that would operate with that kind of divisive nature. So whether you elect the conservatives or you elect the liberals in this election, you're going to get the same thing. Our data tracking indicates that it's better for us if the conservatives get elected, because people will begin to see through this manipulation of the votes and manipulation of images that it's neither the liberals or the conservatives, and they will begin looking for alternatives.
I see. I see. And what do you feel is the biggest issue facing Waterloo right now? And if elected, how would you address it?
Okay, so what I did to start this whole thing was I did my own as it was heard report. So I talked to people, everybody I could find on the street. That includes homeless people, mentally challenged people, business people. So where I was is I went out. I did not tell them I was running, and I just simply listened to them. And that was the turning point for me, because I started to understand that I do not tell people what was going on. I'm listening to them. So I constructed a way to look at this. There's the lived experience, the community experience, and the Canadian experience. And I found Canadians, people in Waterloo, at three levels. They were concerned about affordability and everything that is written about. At the community level, there was a amount of concern about representation in government, and there was a distrust of the existing political parties. And at the national level, we just felt we were going in the wrong directions. So that's, I don't believe any party is better than the other party in the current system we've got. If I had to pick one, I'd pick the liberals, although the conservatives are better for us.
I get it. And I'm gonna ask a little bit about some of the points in your platform. Looking at kind of specifically looking at the article about you on the PPC site. You listed a few foundational principles, one of which being protecting personal freedoms. Is that sort of a blanket term, or are there personal freedoms that you feel aren't being protected right now, and how do you plan to protect them?
First of all, the big thing that I was attracted to in the party was principle-based leadership. And I compare it to getting in a boat and trying to go across the ocean, I don't care how big the motor is, without a rudder. If you have no principles that can ground you and can direct you, it doesn't matter how big or how better the boat is. So the first principle that you asked about is freedom. I really believe it's a case-by-case situation. We have to work in, and not everything is prescribed for everything else. That's part of the problem that I see in democracy. So it's a generic term, it's applied on an individual situation.
I see. Yeah, and one of the other points is ensuring that economic growth is sustainable. How do you, if you don't feel that it's been achieved already, how do you plan to achieve or sort of start making the move towards sustainable economic growth in the Waterloo region?
Waterloo region is part of the larger thing. I think you've heard the World Economic Forum talks about polycrisis, which are generic crises that are faced us all over the world. Economic growth and economic stability is one of those things that are facing us. So when you look at us, we have to work with the national government. Canada, I did my projections into the future, and Canada, with our natural resources, could be one of the richest and most powerful nations in the world. I have a little saying that I believe that Donald Trump is like a shark in the water. Sharks like blood, and blood indicates weakness. And his first attack after he got elected was to come after Canada, the 51st state, the tariffs on Canada, that kind of thing. And I really believe that Trump instinctively understood if he could get control of the Canadian natural resources, he's looking ahead, that America truly would be great again, but not because what they got there, because what we got here. So that leaves it on our shoulders to start building that kind of future for ourselves. And it starts here in Waterloo. We don't have a comprehensive plan because the natural resources, the responsibilities are split between the provinces, and it's also federal responsibilities. So as a result, we don't have a guiding force that takes us forward. And I want to put that together, and I want to start at Waterloo. I can't think about this thing by myself, but I believe everything starts here. And that's where I'd like to meet with people. We're going to build this vision and all the kinds of things that you need to conclude on it. I've already met with some Indigenous people to talk about it, and I found them incredibly receptive to new ways of thinking about where we're going in this country and incredibly willing to find their way with us in that. And I'm not segregating. It's just the whole issue of Indigenous rights is high on everybody's profile right now. So it starts here. Second point is self-sufficiency. I'd like Ottawa to back off and leave us alone. I've seen enough in Waterloo that we have the ability to manage our own house. I call it, this is our house. We need to fix our own house, and we need to stop looking to Ottawa for all the answers. It creates a dependency. I don't think it's a healthy dependency. So we would have to start right here in Waterloo, finding the ways that we can take care of ourselves.
And you also listed some key issues, one of which being the economy, which you just spoke on. Another being immigration. Could you speak a bit on immigration as a key issue in this election?
I don't think it's a big issue. I was here in Waterloo. We saw an influx of students, largely through the college system. And I don't think the immigration rates changed nationally, but these students opened up the opportunity for whatever, 2 or 3 million more people. That's been changed lately. So my experience with immigrants has been there are some people who you might not want to have here in Canada, but for the large part, I love the values, the effort that they want to put into things, and the hard work. And virtually every person I talk to wants to be in Canada. And they tell me about what it's like in their country and the possibilities that are here. I think we need the workforce. We don't need too many of them. We need a balance. We may have to call a moratorium. I'm not sure where we are with our economic engine, but right now, these people are playing a huge part in keeping our economy alive.
I see. I see. And one of the big issues on everybody's mind recently in Canada is the homelessness crisis, especially in Waterloo, we're seeing high numbers of homelessness. How would you address the housing crisis in Waterloo?
Well, it's a good question, and it's again, we're into what those national, what are they, I forgot the name of it right now, but polycrisis. It's just not here, it's all over the place. So we're gonna need to find local solutions. But let me just step back for a second, because I worked with the homeless a long time. And one of the guys that I met on the streets explained to me that the homeless have been with us since the beginning of time. In every community across the world, in every situation, and that they had a role. Their problem was that they were living. I'm not getting off track. I just like this guy. He said, we have to live out our lives in public where the rest of you guys basically live it inside homes. He says, I've found my place in the world. I'm doing what I need to do. He said, you still haven't found your place. And even though you got a place to live in, he said, you're probably more homeless than me. What I'm driving at is that we have some bright people who are in awkward situations. We have some people who don't want to be in some of the housing things that the region are setting up for us now. And I think the region's done a great job in trying to figure this thing out. And it's not an easy solution, And we had one person that would not leave their situation in one of the woods around here. And even if he agreed to come out for a night, he would sneak back the next day to sleep outdoors because he did not like the situation. It's complex. We have to get people off the streets, especially in winter. We need to help them out, but we need to understand what's going on in our society that's creating so much more of this. And it's just not economic. There's a general malaise. I think that's a bad word. There is a growing distrust of the existing way of life and a growing unwillingness to walk down that path with us. I don't know how I would address it specifically, but I spend a lot of time working with homeless people and the region and the city of Waterloo to figure out what we need to do.
See, and along with homelessness, there comes the conversation around addiction, especially in Waterloo. And a big kind of hotly debated part of that is safe injection sites. Is there room, is there any room in your platform for safe injection sites?
I think we need to do what's best for everybody. See, there's always a middle spot for this to happen. And I have worked in safe injection sites, so I understand the need for it and the abuse inside of it. I also understand the fear in people around there and the crime that fills out that. Nevertheless, those are problems that we have to solve because we got to keep people alive. First of all, we got to get them away from this thing. And then, secondly, we need to help rehabilitate them. So, yeah, we're going to do what we need to do. And this is really the region's responsibility and the city, and not mine as an MP. But my job is to create the environment so that they can do what they want. And that's just not money.
Yeah, I see. I see. And so this is my last prepared question, kind of a big one, kind of a small one. Just tell me, why should people vote for you?
I think what I'm trying to do after listening to everybody is and listening to the systemic issues. For example, one thing we didn't talk about, I think the fundamental problem that I found in Waterloo, outside of the economic issues, the second part of that was all the blame and anger that's fostering in everybody. I was on TikTok this morning or the other day, and I saw people heckling Carney's daughter and saying certain divisive things on it. And the next TikTok obviously was about how the conservatives were the conservatives, the liberals were heckling the conservatives. We have got a house divided will not stand. And I think the first part of what we got to do is get people to start listening to each other. And I asked my party, I said, are you willing to put aside your points of view to listen to other people and to understand where they're coming from? And if you did that, you're going to change your point of view. It doesn't mean it's going to get worse or it's going to get better. You'll just better understand why people oppose. So my number one platform is that I want to engage people in Waterloo, and I want to have town halls, people's assemblies. Anything I can do to listen and not tell people what's going to happen. I want to put the hands, the power back into the people of Waterloo. That's the second point. I think you talked to one of the independent candidates. I don't know if you talked to the conservative candidate, but there's a growing trend and a strategy in our country where the parties are determining who's going to run in local places. And that's called parachuting. And that trend means that people in Ottawa are making decisions on policy and what they give to people based on what they think is right for the community. I don't want to. I know the power is going to come back in the hands of people. We've got too much technology to limit people to one vote every 4 years on national issues. So I know that the future is changing and I know it's going to be come back in. I just wanted to be part of it. And I wanted to make Waterloo part of that process. I can't figure it out by myself, but I know there's a lot of good people who can sit with me, talk with me, and we can figure it out. So voting for me is simple. It doesn't, you're going to vote the way you want. 70% of Canadians already made up their minds and they're already established in that vote. That's fine. But what I'm talking about will begin to happen, maybe as soon as the next election. We need a change in Canada, not the Conservatives' change, which is just giving us more goodies to play with. And maybe I don't believe it's going to work. I have one comment on that. I went to a candidates meeting, and this older gentleman stood up and he says, "I've been coming to these candidate meetings for the last four elections." He said, "We, in those four elections, everybody was asking for the same thing that they're asking now, slightly different, but everything is working to their advantage." And he said, "Every politician, didn't matter what color, race, whatever, offered to give that to them." And he said, "Now we're here in 2025. Nothing has changed. We're asking the same questions. We're getting the same answers." So my question, his question to them was, "What are you going to do differently?" "I got a plan to do something differently. I think it's the way things are going to happen. I just want to start in Waterloo and see if we can grow it here."
I see. Well, that, like I said, that was the last question that I had prepared. Before we call it a day, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we didn't quite get to go over?
Well, there is one. I was talking to some university students. It's not a question. And the thing that they said to me is, we have an incredible amount of talent and they don't feel appreciated. So the question was, would I go to a meeting to validate these people, these young guys that are working? They're not weaklings in any stretch of the imagination. They're struggling to find their place in our world and they don't feel valued or appreciated. And that's a symptom of the problem that we've got going on in our country. And I think the talent that we've got here in the universities and in the young people is immense. And it's just not there. It's with older guys like me and low income jobs. We've got the resources to do this thing if we choose to get it. And we have to have the political will to want it. And I wanted to be part of that, at least that message that said, "Let's put the political will out there. Let's start doing this thing." So that's all I can offer to you.
Great. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk with us today. We know you must be very busy preparing for the election. We want to remind everybody to get out and vote. Advanced voting is now done, but you can still vote on the actual election day, April 28th. To find information about who you can vote for and where you can vote, you can go to elections.on.ca. Once again, thank you, Douglas, for talking with us today, and we hope everybody enjoys.
Great, thank you very much.
Of course.